take your Bibles tonight, turn to the book of 3 John. 3 John. We're going to finish up our study of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John tonight by looking at one of the shortest books in the Bible. Again, 2nd and 3rd John have less than 300 Greek words in them and were written on just one piece of paper, one piece of papyrus back in the day. Written shortly after the book of 1 John, written while the Apostle John was the pastor at the church of Ephesus. Written, these two little letters were written right closely after the book of 1 John, the letter 1 John was written. As we studied last week, the book of 2 John was written to a church, and then the book of 3 John is written to an individual by the name of Gaius. So let's look at, start in verse 1, just 14 verses tonight. It starts the same way that 2 John started, the elder, and that's the same that started, the elder, that's how 2 John started, unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Again, the elder, the word elder means pastor or bishop. But the word "the" sets this elder aside from all the others that probably, and again, the elder is John the Apostle, John the Disciple, John the one that leaned on Jesus' breast, John the one that was part of the trio that was sort of the inner circle, James, his brother James and Peter. Got to go up on the Mount of Transfiguration, got to go into the room when Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead. I got to go deeper in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus prayed that night before his crucifixion. And so that's the elder that's talked about in this verse. But because of his age and his seniority, so to speak, and his experience with Christ, he probably had a position of both honor and responsibility. And I'll mention that in just a second. But there's three men by the name of Gaius that are mentioned in the New Testament. In Acts 20, verse 4, there's Gaius of the city of Derbe. In Acts 19, 23, there's Gaius of Macedonia. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and Romans chapter 16, there's Gaius of Corinth. And we're not really sure which Gaius John was writing to, although most Bible scholars... Doug, who are you looking for? George? He's out there somewhere, but I'm not sure where. Okay? Although most Bible scholars think it was the first, Gaius of Derbe, a man that did some traveling with Paul. And it says that he was well-beloved. He's well-beloved by John the Apostle. So he's a dear friend of John's. Perhaps a convert, somebody that John led to the Lord, and I'll say a word about that just in a second when we get down to verse 4, and probably also a fellow pastor. In fact, many people think that the Apostle John, as the elder who had some oversight of some of the churches in his day, appointed this Gaius to be the pastor of the church at Pergamon. And so he is well beloved and he's loved in the truth. He's loved in Christ. These were two men that had the same Savior, had the same new birth, had the same desire to serve and glorify their Savior. So they loved each other in the truth of the gospel. Look at verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. That word prosper means to have a pleasant trip or to get along well. And John says, hey, your soul is prospering. I know your soul is having a good trip because you're saved. You've been redeemed. You're on your way to heaven. You have the Holy Spirit to guide and to encourage you. So I know your soul is prospering. It's having a good trip. He says, I wish for you, and my prayer for you, is that you would have that same prosperity in your physical health. That you would be, just like your soul is in good shape, that your body would be in good shape. That it would be healthy and well and feeling good. Verse 3, for I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. John says, I rejoice greatly, and I mentioned this last week, we take righteousness and righteous living for granted. You know, when somebody messes up, we are greatly dismayed, and we talk about it, and we bemoan the fact that a fellow Christian has misstepped and messed up. And we do that so much that I think that we ignore those Christians that are living right, that are staying in the straight and narrow way, sort of like I mentioned last week in the story of the prodigal son. It's the prodigal that gets all the attention. And yet the elder brother stayed there, served the father. I know he messed up at the end of the story and had a bad attitude. But for all the months and perhaps years that the prodigal was gone, the elder son stayed there, did what was right, served the father. What's wrong with rejoicing about righteous living? What's wrong with talking about people that are walking the straight and narrow way and rejoicing about them as opposed to always focusing on the negative? And so John says, I greatly rejoiced when some brethren came, some Christians that have been in your company, and they testified that the truth was in you, the truth of the gospel, the truth of the word of God. And not only so, and that thou walkest in the truth. It wasn't just a talk with Gaius, it was a walk. It wasn't just the words that he said, it was what he did, his deeds. He lived in the truth. He lived in righteousness. He was kind to others. He met their needs. And again, remember, these two little books, one of the purposes for which they were written was to remind the Christians and to encourage the Christians to offer hospitality to missionaries and to pastors that traveled. Again, mentioned last week, the inns that they had back in those days weren't anything to write home about. And so when Christians traveled, when missionaries traveled, when pastors traveled, the expectation and the duty of other Christians was to welcome them into their homes and give them a place to stay, give them something to eat, give them supplies for their journeys to support them. And these two books were written. Again, last week we talked about where John says, now you need to be discerning because there's false teachers on the scene and you don't want to welcome them into your home. I mean, if they don't preach the same gospel that you believe, if they don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if they don't believe he's the Messiah, if they don't believe the word that we've given you, the Bible, then don't even bid them Godspeed. Don't even say hello to them. Just stay away from them. But true believers that believe the same way you do, John was saying, you have the responsibility to welcome them into your homes, to feed them, to give them a place to stay, to meet their needs. And these people have come and they've testified. And that word testified, it doesn't mean just one time. It means over and over again. And what John was saying is, I rejoice greatly because all the time people are coming from where you are, they're coming to Ephesus, and they're telling me that not only is the truth in you, you're walking in it. And you're meeting their needs. And they're coming and telling me that, and I greatly rejoice to hear it. Then he says in verse 4, and when I first met Brother Clint, first time I met him, he told me, this is my favorite verse, 3 John chapter 4. I don't know if you remember, not first time you came, you told me. He says, here's what John says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now, the fact that John uses the word children as he's talking about Gaius implies that Gaius was one that he led to the Lord. He was his child in the gospel. He had introduced Gaius to Jesus Christ. What he's saying is, hey, I have no greater joy than to hear somebody that was saved under my ministry that they've continued to walk in truth. Now, I think this verse can also apply to our children. A parent has no greater joy. A mom and dad has no greater joy than to hear that their children walk in truth. No greater joy. Now, again, not just our prejudiced view of what they're doing, but to hear other people say, hey, I've had some experience with your kids, and they're walking in truth. They're living the Christian life. It's also a joy, as John expressed in this verse, to hear those that have been saved as a result of being us being able to present the gospel to them. It's a great joy to hear that they have remained faithful to God, that they are serving Him. And I couldn't help but think, I think it's no greater joy in heaven for God to hear that His children, us, continue to walk in truth. You say, preacher, he don't need to hear it. He knows everything. I know that. But don't you think it delights the heart of God when somebody in prayer mentions your name and said, this person was awful good to me. I just want to praise you, Lord, for putting this person in my life because they met a need that I couldn't meet. And I know you sent them, but I just want to praise you for them. Don't you think that delights the heart of God to hear that His children walk in truth? Verse 5, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. He said, what you're doing, I've heard that you've been faithful. You're there. You haven't gone on a leave of absence. You haven't quit. You're doing it over and over and over and over. You're staying on duty. That's what it means to be faithful, to be there, to keep doing what you're supposed to do. And he says, you're doing it to brethren and strangers. Now, the brethren are fellow Christians, but and the strangers, it could mean a couple of things. It could mean the brethren because we're strangers in this world. This world's not our home. We're just passing through. But it also could mean the Gentile Christians, the non-Jewish Christians. And he says, you've been faithful to do what you're supposed to do. And again, invite them into your home as they pass through your city. Feed them. Meet their needs. Verse 6, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. John's saying, not only have I heard from these people, but they've testified in the church at Ephesus where he was pastor. Apparently, they must have had times like we have, where we give people an opportunity to testify about different things. And John says, some of the people that have been with you, pastors, missionaries, other Christians, they've returned. And in our testimony meetings, they have testified about you, Gaius, and about the kindness that you have showed them in inviting them into your home and taking care of them. And he says, whom if thou bring forward. In other words, that bring forward means send. In other words, as they sent missionaries, as they supplied the needs of missionaries. And again, in some of Paul's letters, he talks about the different churches. We know that he was sent out of the church of Antioch. That's where he was called. He and Barnabas were serving there as pastors. And God called them out of that church to be missionaries. But we know in some of his other letters that other churches supplied his needs. Now, he worked. He was a tent maker. And we know he worked with some other tent makers to provide some of his living. But there were churches that provided his physical needs, that supported him. And John is saying, if you do that, if you bring them forward on their journey, thou shalt do well. What he's saying is, that pleases God, that you're supporting these folks that have left home and gone to different places to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is pleasing in the sight of God that you support them. Because that for his name's sake, they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. They went for his name's sake. They went to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. They left home, as our missionaries do today. They left home. They went to the place that God called them. It could be in a different part of the state. It could be a different part of the country. It could be in a different part of the world. But they went for his name's sake. They went in the name of Jesus Christ to tell other people about him. And they took nothing of the Gentiles. In other words, they did not depend on the people they went to support them. They did not. It would be like Andy and Linda Briggs. What John is saying, they didn't go to Latvia and expect the Latvia people to support them. They were supported by the people back home. They were supported by the people that sent them. He says in verse 8, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. John is saying, as we help missionaries go, as we support them and provide their needs, we are becoming fellow helpers. We are standing beside them in their ministry. We are standing beside them in their work. Now, you know that we give 10% of every undesignated dollar that we get to missions, support missionaries around the world. We have designated mission money, and we have certain individuals that we support directly. And what John is telling the church and what John is telling Gaius here is as you do that, he's telling us, as we do that, we stand beside them. We share in their work. And what a privilege it is that God has given us that privilege to do that, to stand beside those that are going to different places sharing the gospel. All right, in verse 9, he says, I wrote unto the church, and again, we don't know what church, and we don't know what he wrote, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. So, again, we don't know what John wrote, but again, this indicates that he had a position, as the elder, had a position of oversight in some of the churches and pastors, and he says, I wrote, but this guy, Diotrephes, who was either in the same church that Gaius was or in a different church in the same community, is far different from you, Gaius. He's far different from you. He says he likes to have the preeminence, and that means to love first place. In other words, he loves himself more than others. And he doesn't, he receiveth us not. He doesn't receive the word that we conveyed to you, the disciples conveyed to the church, the word of God. He rejects it personally. He works evil. He doesn't love missionaries like you do. He's the opposite of you, Gaius, because you walk in truth. And the testimony has come back from those that have been with you that you love missionaries and you love pastors and you take care of them. You demonstrate God's love for them as you welcome them into your home and feed them and supply their needs. So John says, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. What John is saying, when I come, I'm not going to forget what he's done. He's prated against us. That word prating means to speak nonsense. And what it's talking about is he's mocking the word of God. He's mocking the word that John and the other disciples gave to the church at the instruction of Jesus and at the instruction of the Holy Spirit. He refuses to welcome missionaries. He refuses to provide for their needs. And he does more than that. He tries to prevent the Christians that want to from doing it, so much so that if they try to do it, he tries to throw them out of the church, cast them out of the church. And John says, beloved, again in verse 11, talking to Gaius, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. What John's saying to Gaius is, don't follow this guy's example. Because he doesn't know God. He's never been saved. He's not a Christian. He's not a believer. He that doeth evil hath not seen God. But he that doeth good hath seen God. Is of God. And let me give you an example of that. So he goes down in verse 12. Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. And yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. Demetrius is just the opposite of this Diotrephes. John says, I know him. I mean, other people have come and told me about him, but I know him myself. If you're going to pick one of these two guys to follow, make sure you follow Demetrius. And by the way, it ought to be a reminder to each of us. We need to watch who we pattern our life after. We need to watch who we hang around with. Because sooner or later, if we hang around with a person long enough, we're going to end up just like them. You say, oh no, I'm stronger than that. Well, okay. I'm just giving you a warning. Sooner or later, you're going to end up and exhibit characteristics like the people that you hang around with. So make sure when you pick people to hang around with, you pick people that are Christian. You pick people that love the Lord. You pick people that believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hang around with him. See, and I'm not saying you shouldn't be friends with unbelievers, because that's an opportunity to witness. I'm just saying be careful. Be careful, be careful. Verse 13, I had many things. He's ending this book like he did the book of 2 John. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. He says, I've covered the important stuff. I'll wait till I get there, and we can look each other face to face, and I'll tell you all the other stuff I want to tell you. Peace be to thee. Well-being. Well, as he finishes up here, our friends salute thee. The mutual friends that we have here in Ephesus, they send greetings to you. And then he says, greet the friends that are there in your church, Gaius. Greet them by name. In other words, what John is saying, would you go to them and individually tell them, I send my greetings to them. So again, two little books tucked away toward the back of the New Testament, but some rich, rich blessings in these two little books. I hope you've enjoyed it the last couple of weeks. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed.